Hello, everybody, and welcome
to Ghoul Society. That's my big sister, Jamie.
And that's my little sister, Sarah. We are grateful to be recording on the unceded, stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples, whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
We're back, and it's been a really long time.
I was thinking about it when I was in the washroom. I was like, damn, it's been a month.
Shh, don't tell them.
Since we recorded last.
Oops. Listen.
I did it again. Look.
We're just busy.
I'm busy. I'm really busy.
I'm really busy too.
I can't.
Like, I don't have time to see anybody or do anything except the things that I'm doing.
I'm 4 weeks deep on practicum.
Woo!
Woo! 2 weeks left and the short weeks, and it's going so lovely, so good. I love it so much. Albeit I am quite tired, but that is the life
of a teacher. Hashtag teacher life.
Hashtag pay teachers more.
Hashtag teacher Jamie. Hashtag pay teachers living wage.
So true, though. So actually true.
26 an hour.
26 an hour for every hour that they do work.
So like 12 hours a day.
Yeah. So good luck.
That's where I'm happy if my tax money goes to that.
So. Thanks. Thank you. Sarah got new glasses.
I got new glasses. I also got really new good. Sunglasses.
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah. New glasses, wireframe. Never had those.
Damn. How they feel, light?
Yeah.
Good.
They feel light and they feel good, but they kind of
slide.
Well, they bother me a bit with the headphones.
Oh.
But they're a little better now because they were really tight initially when I got them. So I had to get them. There's birds. I had to get them to reshape the arms. Mm. And so it's a little bit better now, but it's still like the edges of the headphones touch exactly where the back of my glasses touch behind my ear. Ooh, and so it just makes it tight behind my ear.
Right.
And there's nothing I can do about it.
Damn.
So.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, but it's not as bad as it initially was, so.
Right. I guess you could not wear them when you have headphones, but you try to wear them like all the time, right?
Yeah, I just get a headache when I don't wear them.
Yeah.
Because then, like, your face is just blurry. And if I'm reading a story, I won't be able to read the screen.
Yes, true.
It's too blurry.
Yeah. Well, today you won't be reading any stories.
I know.
It's just me.
I don't have any story, but what else is
new? Next week. So, yeah, we haven't recorded for a while. However, I know we've said that the last two episodes. Don't at us, okay? Holy.
Calm down. Calm down.
Relax.
We
know.
At least we're doing something.
We're doing something. Bi-weekly is just the way it's going to have to be right now.
It's just easier.
Though we looked at the calendar and we chose 3 other days to record.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some stories cooking. They're cooking. Yeah. Sarah might have a twofer.
I might. I don't know yet. It seems like it'll be a twofer because it's also just really heavy, so.
Oh. Interesting.
And you're
like when we did Cecil. Oh my god.
You're like probably never gonna guess what my story is too.
What?
Yep.
You're never gonna guess mine. So I'm just gonna tell you. Today I'm going to share a story with you about a beautiful place. A place that gives me this feeling of creepy, mixed with nostalgia, mixed with awe, mixed with history, mixed with genealogy, mixed with this feeling that I can't quite describe.
Okay.
The Edinburgh Vaults.
Oh! Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. I was deciding if I was going to tell you right away or let you guess, but since my intro is like a little bit long, like the history of it. I was like, you're not going to really clue in. It's not super obvious. So I'm just going to say it and then we'll just get right into it.
Woo!
So the Edinburgh Vaults. Also, don't come at me for pronunciation, but also do.
If for you want. Edinburgh?
Is it Edinburgh or Edinburgh?
It's not Burrow.
Fuck.
I'm like quite certain it's like Edinburgh.
Okay.
Whatever, however you want to say it. We're Canadian.
Oh my God.
What can you do about it? Give us a break.
So during the late 18th century in Edinburgh, Scotland, James Hunter Blair... Sarah's already yawning.
I'm sorry.
No, I get it.
I'm so sleepy.
I really get it. I'll just throw this out, like, holy fuck. That's not even, like, half the sentence.
I'm also almost done my coffee, and I'm so tired.
Oh, my God.
I think it's because we're sitting on a bed. Like,
do you want to sit on the floor?
It's just so comfy.
I know. It's comfy and cozy.
It makes me eepy.
Yeah, and with my heating pad, I'm always like, oh, my God. Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. That's really funny.
Continue, so, please. So,
James Hunter Blair had the great idea to expand the pre-existing North Bridge that connected Edinburgh's old town to its new town. This extension would travel south to improve connections to the southward land and would span over the Cowgate. So, Cowgate, I'm going to say that a lot. It's a street that's located approximately 500 meters southeast of Edinburgh Castle. Ooh. And this area was developed in 1330.
Holy shit.
And represented Edinburgh's first municipal extension.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's fucking old.
I want to go there.
I want to go to Scotland so badly. I want to live there. Okay.
You'd be a teacher there.
Fun fact. I know, right?
That'd be fun.
Gate is a Scots language word for way or road.
Oh.
So it's like cow road. And this road was used for herding cattle back in the day.
Classic. Just name it for what it's used for.
Yeah. Call it what it is. Come on.
Cow road.
Cow road. Makes sense. So the South Bridge was designed by Robert Kay and built by Alexander Lang. Not Alexander Lang, like the designer. I mean, that's Alexander Wang. It's Alexander Lying. L-A-I-N-G. Part of the design scheme was to demolish three closes. Now, you know what a close is, right? I'm a little still confused, but a close is like essentially a small... Let's actually give
Isn't it an inlet definition?
No.
Oh, a close is some kind of land thing. I don't know. How are you not finding it?
Okay, it's literally just alleyway.
A close is an alley?
Yes, but here's the thing about closes is that they were like used, so alleyways where tenement houses were usually built in. So they were like super crowded, super tiny spaces.
Yeah.
And a close is also like a private property and it's usually gated and closed to the public. Whereas a wind, W-Y-N-D, is an open thoroughfare and it's wide enough for a horse and cart.
Okay.
That's what Google's telling me.
Okay.
But here's the thing about this sentence is that it says was to demolish three closes and then it goes on to call them winds. So Maryland's wind, Pebble's wind, and Nidri's wind, which were three of Edinburgh's poorest and most rundown areas. So they're going to close down these super poor areas because of course they are.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, no one lives there. Of course people fucking live there. They're like, Liz, we'll just tear it down. It's fine.
Most people live there.
Won't bother anyone. Totally fine. Totally fine.
Great. So, what else?
In 1785, the South Bridge Act 1785 was passed, and 4 years later, taxes were raised to fund the bridge. In 1786, the incomplete bridge was opened to foot traffic using planks of wood resting on completed arches.
That is so 1700s.
I know.
It's like, oh, we made the posts. Just lay down planks and then people can just cross them.
Yes, exactly.
Like balance beams.
So I want to show you what the area that I'm talking about right now. Like, so this is the bridge. I'm showing Sarah a picture of the bridge. This is the bridge.
That's the bridge?
Yeah. Imagine that there's no houses at the beginning.
Yeah.
This is just the whole bridge. And this is where Cowgate goes through. Underneath. Because it's in, like, the lowest valley bottom.
Oh.
So this is the bridge. Okay. You picturing it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Keep that picture in your brain. By 1788, the bridge was completed. It was made of 19 stone arches, which I just showed Sarah in that photo, spanning a chasm over 1,000 feet long. At its highest point, the bridge stood 31 feet above ground and has foundation pillars that went as deep as 22 feet into bedrock. So 22 feet in the ground.
How did they go into bedrock in the 1700s?
I don't know. So, as you are asking, it is to say that this bridge was, like, an architectural marvel, yeah. Honestly, at the time. They were like, holy shit.
Yeah, because...
Because how? Don't know. Pickaxes.
Yeah, but, like...
And prisoners, probably.
I thought humans can't break bedrock.
I think you can.
Oh.
Just upgrade your pickaxe to an iridium pickaxe. That's for my Stardew lovers. All right, so around the turn of the 18th century, Europe as a whole was a fearful and superstitious place full of real and imagined harms, and this was especially evident in Edinburgh. This fear was exacerbated by their inherent mistrust of the invading English, a long-held belief after a large defensive wall was built following the Flodden Battle in 1513. This is called the Flodden Wall. So this large wall surrounded the outskirts of the city.
Whoa.
The entire city. And this barrier, combined with the natural geography, forced residents to essentially live on top of each other. So instead of building the city outward, extensions of the city were built upward, and in some cases, up to 14 stories high. Which is crazy, because it's not like modern-day apartment 14 stories. It's like houses on top of each other.
So that's also why they built that bridge?
Not really connected, but yeah, not really.
Oh, okay.
Well, kind of. You'll see. They do add onto the bridge. They add like a bunch more houses and stuff onto the bridge. All this is to say that there was already an intense air of claustrophobia, fear, mistrust, and anxiety amongst the population, which was about to get worse.
Yay!
Worse. So back to the completion of the bridge. It was decided that an appropriate and fitting honor to inaugurate the bridge would be to have the eldest resident cross the bridge first. Now, this was the wife of a respected local judge.
Oh,
it kind of weird, though, because remember how we were talking about people were already using it with the wooden planks across the arches, which is so unhinged. But now it's
fully completed?
Yeah. So then, like, they complete it, and they're like, okay, now we gotta set the tone with a celebration.
Right.
However, days before the grand opening, the lady in question died.
Oh, because she was too old.
She was
old. Do we know how old she was?
I don't
know. How old do you think she was?
Like, 30... 29, my age, I don't know.
Probably like mid-30s, she was probably like, my time has come.
Probably. So she's out of there.
Oh.
However, since promises were made and set in stone, so to speak, the lady was still the first to cross the bridge, albeit in a coffin.
Oh my god.
Obviously.
That's so morbid. I kind of like it.
I know, me
like,
too.
Whoa.
This made the locals go crazy. They believed the bridge was now cursed, and many townsfolk refused to cross the bridge for many years.
She haunts it, probably.
Probably, honestly, yeah. Instead, the townsfolk would take the original impractical route through the Cowgate Valley. Oh. And these beliefs were further cemented in their minds also because of the history of the land. So you know how we talked about those closes, which were demolished?
Yeah.
The Nidgeri Close also already had a dark history, as it was actually the location of one of the many notorious witch trials of Europe, which took place in the 1500s.
Ew, that was a big one. Ew! You did not just fucking do that.
Yeah, it just goes on the floor.
They're Jamie everywhere. Jamie just killed this fucking fly thing on the wall and then just was like...
called a drain fly.
She killed this drain fly and then knocked it down in between her bed and the wall.
I'll clean it later.
shit.
Yes.
Okay. It's just funny.
Yes, because I often move the bed to clean.
So. Oh, then you're smart.
Thanks. As time went on, businessmen purchased spots on the bridge and began to build shops along the top of it. That was kind of like that so photo I showed you.
How wide is it?
This is long. What I'm still... I know.
Because it's a valley, right?
Yeah. Well, it's 1,000 feet long.
It's 1,000 feet long. Is it the full length?
Yes.
Okay. So then, how wide is it across?
That's what I don't understand.
Well, if it's 19...
Because this is what it looks like
19
now.
19 arches. Oh, what?
Yes. So I'm showing
That's
Sarah...
That's the cow gate?
No, this is the bridge.
What the fuck? That's the bridge?
Yes. Okay, so holy I'm showing shit. Sarah a photo where it just looks like your average street. Because what happened over time, which I was getting to in my story, but I'll just speed ahead a little bit here, is that... So people built these buildings.
Yes.
Like, on the bridge.
Yeah.
But then they also built them down along the sides of the bridge. And that's when now the vaults are enclosed, and that's how the vaults became vaults.
Oh.
Because before they were just like open air spaces. Like
the arches.
Picture. Yeah, the arches. But then they were like, well, fuck, now we have all this space. Let's just keep building buildings around it. So the only arch that you can see is the Cowgate Arch.
Oh.
And it's the tallest arch. But and now you can see like on the sides here. Yeah. I'm showing Sarah another photo. There's a photo from Wikipedia.
Yeah, I see.
It's a second photo. It's like a block print image almost.
Yeah.
And so yeah, like all of this along the whole bridge.
Yeah.
Is now just buildings. And so and people talk about it still today is like you don't know that you're on a bridge. You don't know that
Oh my god,
there's...
I want to go there so bad.
I know.
That's like it's very that architect that architect stuff is very similar to have you ever seen videos of people in China and they're like some of their apartment complexes are so fucking crazy and they're like okay let's go to the ground level and then they're like we're not even on like street level
and you like walk out and you think that you're on the street level and then
but
you look over
and then
the
you
edge
go, you keep just going down forever and ever and ever and I'm like how would you know where to go?
I know
that's crazy.
I know it's so crazy.
That's so interesting to me.
So this is what I don't quite understand. It doesn't say the width.
Yeah,
probably because like the buildings.
Yeah,
but yeah, so the length is 1,125 feet. The height at its highest point is 68 feet, and it has, like we said, 19 arches.
Damn.
Okay, so, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So, yes, this is when we were talking about tenement houses were built alongside both sides of the 18 of the 19 arches, exposing only the largest arch where it crosses over Cowgate, and this is how it remains today. It is fully hidden by buildings, except for the Cowgate Arch.
Wow.
That's crazy. To maximize space further, floors and ceilings were built within the blocked arches, creating dark, airless, vaulted chambers. So you would have like one arch, but then they would build like a floor, which was also a ceiling, depending on what level you were on, within them.
Whoa.
Crazy. Crazy.
That is so whoa.
Yeah. The top areas were used as workshops for the businessmen above.
Oh.
While the vaults below ground, quote unquote, were used for storage. Recent excavations of the area have found various artifacts, and supported by records from the day, it is well understood that in the early days of the bridge, many businesses thrived in these underground spaces. There were taverns, cobblers, cutlers, smelters, victualers and milliners all left evidence of their trades.
Whoa.
Crazy. As time went on, however, the quality of life diminished in these spaces as the spaces deteriorated.
Oh.
The bridge had never been waterproofed, and thus the vaults began to leak. Not only
because
rain.
Because Scotland is fucking rainy
wet.
And wet all the time.
And so you can imagine not only rainwater, but like city sludge. Started leaking through all the vaults.
Yeah, because they don't have sewers or anything.
No. Well, maybe, but not really. And just, like, you know, city sludge. Like, I don't know. Like, just gross. Ew. And you can even see, like, if we ever go there, we'll probably be able to see it. But I've seen photos of, like, an arched vault where there's, like, black ooze coming out of the ceiling. Ew, and, like, they're still leaking. Yeah, like, when it's wet out in Scotland, it'll still be damp. I know.
Ew.
Crazy. So this obviously forced businessmen out of the area over time.
Oh, sad.
But as the vaults emptied of legal trade, they became home to the poorest and pushed out members of society, including immigrant Irish people, mercenary landlords, various criminals, body snatchers, sex workers, and the list goes on. Living conditions were appalling, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Rooms were cramped, dark, and damp. There was no sunlight, poor circulated air, no running water, and no sanitation. Further, the vaults were lit with fish oil lamps, which combined with the stench of stale waste, chamber pots, decay, and even death.
Yay!
Many rooms housed families of more than 10 people.
Whoa.
And of course, crime soon plagued the vaults, including mm-hmm. robbery and murder. Those living in the vaults often died from disease, malnourishment, and infection, further creating an uninhabitable space for those trapped in lives of poverty. Numerous children were also born within the confines of the vaults, and the harsh conditions of life underground led to a tragically high mortality rate amongst mm-hmm. those born there. While there's little evidence to support this, because of course these people weren't meant to be there in the first place, middens, which are essentially garbage piles or refuse piles,
mm-hmm.
were found, which contained household items like toys, medicine bottles,
oh.
clay pipes, buttons, horseshoes, snuff boxes, you name it.
Whoa.
So it was a lot of evidence of people living there at one point.
Right.
There was one article I found from 1815, mm-hmm. which shows some supporting evidence for habitation of those living on the fringes of society. And I think it's about a bootlegging operation.
Ooh.
So I'm going to read this little article excerpt to you.
Okay.
It was from Saturday, July 1st, 1815. And it's from the Edinburgh Evening Courant. On the 24th... What is I-N-S-T? Inst?
I don't know. Inst? Old-time language is hard. Like, as an abbreviation.
On the 24th instance, maybe? Sometimes they would say that.
Instantaments. Current month.
Oh. Wait, what's the word?
Instantaments. In legal or historical documents, inst can stand for instantaments, which means the current month.
Oh.
For example, the 5th inst would mean the 5th of the current month.
Okay. So, on the 24th inst, Mr. Mackenzie, supervisor, accompanied by Mess, Gorey, and McNaughton, officers, discovered a private distillery of considerable extent under the arch of the South Bridge, which has been working these 18 months past to the great injury of the revenue. The particulars of the seizure are worthy of notice from the great pains which had been taken to prevent disclosure. The original door to the place where the operations were going forward had been carefully built up and plastered over so as to prevent any appearance of an entrance.
Oh, shit.
Behind a grate in the fireplace of a bedroom, an opening had been made.
Whoa!
And fitted with an iron door and lock, exactly fitting the grate, which could only be seen by being removed. And this passage led to the flat above by a trap door and ladder where the still was working.
The place,
again, was in one of the deaf arches, immediately adjoining the middle arch of the bridge, the cave's revenue. And the person had found means to convey a pipe from one of the town's branches, which gave a plentiful supply of water. A soil pipe was also got at, and a hole broke through into a neighboring vent to carry off the smoke. Besides the still, a considerable quantity of wash and some low wines were found in the premises. Also many casks, mash tun, large tubs, etc.
Whoa!
So.
That's sick.
Yep. That's some, like, hard evidence there that people were obviously living in these spaces and working and operating illegal distilleries. Additionally, it is thought that Burke and Hare, also worked in these underground vaults. We will do a story on them, but essentially, for those who don't know, they were serial killers and body snatchers who sold bodies to science. But this idea of Birkenhare living there has been disputed over and over. Mm. Or perhaps not living, but using the space. Who knows?
Well, listen to Kate Winkler Dawson's podcast about it.
Yeah.
Because she did a whole season on it.
Yeah, she did an amazing, amazing on Wicked Words.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. Shout out. A few years before the vaults were officially closed down, a fire broke out on a late November evening in 1824 on the second floor of the old Assembly Close, a narrow alleyway just off the High Street. So this is the Great Fire of Edinburgh.
Oh no!
The city had formed a permanent fire brigade only 2 months earlier, and while they arrived on scene quickly, they actually had a difficult time locating a water supply, and it took them an hour before they were able to start tackling the blaze.
Oh no.
By this point, 6 stories of the building were on fire, and since the alleyways were so narrow, the fire spread quickly to adjoining buildings. Mm-hmm. By midnight, 4 tenements were ablaze as the fire crept toward the Cowgate. Still, 2 days later, the fire was spreading down multiple closes, many buildings collapsed in burnt rubble. Eventually, a downpour of rain brought the fire under control by the evening of the second day. Some sources say that it lasted 5 days.
Oh.
But okay. I saw that it started on Monday and ended Wednesday. So
right.
I don't know. Who knows? History.
Yeah.
All we know is it was a huge fucking fire and it burnt down a shit ton of the city.
Holy.
I bring up the fire because people in the nearby areas attempted to escape the fire by running down into the vaults. However, since the fire was ablaze above the vaults, they essentially became an underground oven.
Yeah.
Cooking numerous men, women, and children alive who were trapped down there.
Oh my god.
So this next part is pretty intense, so skip ahead a little bit if you would like to. Some parents made the agonizing decision to spare their children from the slow death of the fire by cutting their throats to kill them quickly. I had a hard time finding this information. And it could be conjecture, but it's been talked about so many times, so I had to add it into the story.
So they couldn't just leave?
No, because
Are they stuck?
In one of them I read, what happened was they actually, once a bunch of people got into the vaults, they, barricaded it with rubble to protect them from the fire. I don't understand how, but also you could imagine if you go into the vault and there's a fire above you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know.
Because when people just be running around being get out.
Yeah, and going to a different area of the vault or something like that. Yeah, and you're
oh, it's super hot.
I don't really know.
Why?
So that's why I'm kind of I don't know if this is true or this isn't true. Also because when I was reading about the Great Fire of Edinburgh, it didn't say anything about the vaults.
Oh,
but every time I watch or read about any ghost stuff, it talks about the fire in the vaults.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Huh. Lost to time, I guess.
Lost to time.
Damn.
Yep. Super sad. Super crazy. Eventually, due to the impractical and uninhabitable standards of the vaults, they were shut down officially. It's not known exactly when this took place. Some suggest 1835 and others 1875.
Whoa.
Which is a four-decade difference.
Yeah, holy shit.
As written records regarding the vaults during their slum era are virtually non-existent.
Yeah, makes sense.
They were filled in with rubble and they were left to be forgotten about for the rest of time. However, over 100 years later, in the 1980s, a Scottish rugby player named Norrie Rowan found a tunnel leading to the vaults.
Oh.
This is where it gets interesting. He used the tunnel to help Romanian rugby player Christian Raducanu escape the Romanian secret police and seek political asylum weeks before the Romanian Revolution of 1989.
What?
I know.
Holy shit.
I know. I don't know.
What?
I know.
Okay.
So then, about a decade later, in the 90s, Nori and his son Norman, excavated the vaults. Hundreds of tons of rubble were removed by hand, and many interesting artifacts were discovered.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm a little confused that, like, the city of Edinburgh wasn't like, we can't do this, and that these guys were just like, we're just gonna remove
this rubble.
Yeah, unless,
because would, like, it even, like, it's still rubble 100 years later. They never paved over it, or
no, it's just rubble.
They never and officially it was just forgotten it. About.
No, yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is so wild.
So he must have got permission from the city somehow. I don't really understand, but
or maybe it was just the 80s, and so the city was just like, oh shit, so okay, you found it.
You can just remove it by hand. I guess
now it'll be like a
go for it.
It'll be in the paper, so now people will be like, ooh, what's that?
Yeah. A few large sections of the vaults have been fully excavated, and today they are mainly used for tours, and specifically ghost tours. So let's get into ghosts. Ooh. Numerous television and YouTube groups have visited the vaults, such as Ghost Adventures, Most Haunted, a BBC TV production team for Joe Swash Believes in Ghosts. Don't know about that.
Who's Joe Swash?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. And then over on YouTube, we have Amy's Crypt, Watcher, Eerie Edinburgh, Exploring with Josh, Project Fear, and many more. I got into the vaults, not physically, but online, from watching a Project Fear video, which actually just came out like a week ago.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And it's kind of funny because I saw the Watcher video before. Mm-hmm. But somehow I didn't connect it, because I think they call it, like, the Scottish Tunnels or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, boys, like, talk a little bit more about what's going on. I think they went there, like, a year ago, Ryan and Shane from Watcher. But anyways, so over the years, people have reported strange apparitions, figures lurking in doorways, footsteps resounding in the corridors, voices from nowhere, and the icy touch of invisible hands. One of the most well-known spirit of the vaults is Mr. Boots, also known as the Watcher.
Mr. Boots! I know Mr. Boots.
So Mr. Boots is thought to be a male spirit who likes to keep a close eye on whoever is in the vaults. Mm-hmm. Those who have claimed to see him describe him as a tall, imposing man wearing a dirty blue coat and heavy, worn-out, knee-high leather boots.
Slay.
People often hear him pacing corridors or see him glaring from doorways, and some claim to hear him growl the words, "Get out!"
They don't want these hoity-toity people.
Nope.
In his vaults.
It is speculated that in life, Mr. Boots could have been hiding something, and thus he exhibits territorial behavior. Perhaps he was a smuggler, a thief, or even a body snatcher. Or perhaps he is a harmless protector spirit, as he is most often seen around the White Room. Given that he is quite active in this area that was once used for storing goods, he could simply be continuing his job as a watchman hired by a merchant. Mm-hmm. I took to Reddit and I found this story shared by Reddit user VertigoSaint90. We enter one room where there used to be a fireplace, which the guide is in front of. In the archway, there's a couple, and I'm stood next to them facing the guide and the couple. I decide to take a photo of the guide and the couple when suddenly behind the couple I see this man. I've never seen a face full of so much hate and evil in all my life. I can't even find the words to describe how menacing they looked. Their face looked twisted with hate. They looked human, a tall figure wearing a long black coat or cloak, wearing a top hat. They had pale white skin. The figure wasn't transparent, but solid. Whoa. The moment I saw him, the entire left side of my body went numb and cold. And I mean cold, as if that side of my body had frozen. I felt something yank at my left hand, and I pulled my eyes away from the figure in the archway to look down at the left-hand side of my body. There is nothing next to me, no one pulling on my hand, and when I go to look up, Mr. Boots is gone. Thank God. The guide starts to move everyone to the next room, and I seriously don't want to walk through the archway, but I know I can't stay in the small room any longer. I go to move, and when I look down at my left shoe, I see the shoelace is undone.
Oh!
Not only, it's not just undone. The shoelace looks like it's been wrapped around someone's finger and they have piled it on top of my shoe. I can't help but gasp out loud and call the guide over. She looks at it baffled and says she's never seen that happen to anyone before. I don't know why, but I was too scared to tell her about seeing Mr. Boots because I felt like I couldn't tell her, like I would somehow get into trouble.
Oh.
I felt like I was suddenly back to being a little kid.
Whoa, that's so creepy.
I know, right? So it's kind of interesting because their description of the figure that they saw and connecting it with Mr. Boots, I feel like their description of the figure actually matches another well-known spirit who's known as the aristocrat. So the aristocrat...
Cat.
Aristocats. The aristocrat is a tall man with a top hat and a beard.
Oh, okay.
Psychics who have tried to contact the spirit say his name is either Finian or Jerrion McKenzie. Oh. He's often seen leaning against the wall from where he watches people, grinning at them.
Oh, okay.
This may sound creepy, but he's thought to be a curious spirit and not a hostile one.
Mm.
Some believe that he could have been a member of the Hellfire Club, a notorious gentleman's club inside the vaults. The aristocrat is seen in the tavern room and in the double height room, which is a room that at one point had an extra floor or ceiling, like we talked about.
Yeah.
That collapsed over time. There's also like a door above kind of where the floor would have been.
Okay.
And other apparitions in this room are a bird-like apparition and the ghost of a naked man who has been seen floating in the upstairs section of the room close to the second floor doorway.
Oh my God. He's just like, this is my house.
Yeah.
I'm just naked in my house.
He's like, get out of my house. Our next spirit is thought to be a shoemaker from the late 1700s. He was first seen in 1997 in the southwest corner of what's thought to be the cobbler room. He is short, stocky, and bald, and probably around 50 years old. He comes across as a very happy spirit, and he's usually sitting on a bench and working on a shoe, smiling and laughing. He's interested in people's footwear and is known to tug at shoelaces. Because he's such a strong and friendly ghost, psychics advise the staff to go to the cobbler's room in case of paranormal trouble. He is thought to protect people from malevolent spirits.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. You know how that Reddit person was talking about their shoelace?
Yeah.
I almost feel like, what if the cobbler did that to their shoe?
Yeah. Like, you know? Like they encountered multiple spirits.
Like, at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, the cobbler shares space with another spirit who is not as friendly.
Oh.
This spirit is thought to be a young woman completely dressed in black and wearing a veil as if she is grieving.
Classic,
I know. Psychics have described her as being very disturbed, and they believe that she has lost someone close to her.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to think perhaps a child in a traumatic way. Visitors have stones thrown at them or see stones being thrown across the room, and female visitors often feel grief, anger, and experience abdominal pains.
Oh.
I'm unsure if it's the same spirit, but there was a woman who went down into the vaults in the 1800s to have sex with two men who ended up sexually assaulting her and beating her to death. And the spirit of this woman is supposedly seen around. However, she has long dark hair and her face is covered in blood.
Oh.
Which actually reminds me that the other day, I was biking home from the school that I'm doing my practicum at. And I see this man on the bike path who is covered in blood.
What?
I never told anyone this, actually. I just remember.
Why didn't you call the police? What is wrong with you?
His face was covered in blood, dry blood. So I couldn't tell if it was, I don't know. And there was like a blood smear also on his body. I didn't call.
What? Was this a real person? Did you see a ghost?
I think he was real. He looked very real.
He was just biking?
No, he was walking. He was he wasn't stumbling. He was just walking. Like, definitely, I would say, a street person. I didn't call anyone.
Why?
Well, he seemed fine. He seemed fine.
But that's weird.
I know it was weird. I did consider calling the police.
Yeah, the non-emergent line.
Like, oh, yeah, true.
Hello, there's this guy walking on the goose.
With maybe blood
all over him. Well,
I couldn't tell if it was actually blood.
What else would it have been? Dirt? Mud?
Paint?
You can tell if it was blood or paint?
Okay, it looked like blood. I just assumed, I know this is terrible, never do this, but I assumed someone else would call.
Jamie.
I know.
That's part of the problem.
I know. No one called.
That would have been in the newspaper. I feel like that would have been in the news.
Really?
Probably.
Yeah, so anyway.
Okay. Well.
Listen, if it happens again, I will call the non-emergency line.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone. Crazy. I let you all down. I guess it just didn't seem that crazy to me.
What?
I've been listening to too much true crime, I think.
It didn't seem that crazy?
Bro, I've seen crazy shit downtown Victoria. It's like not that crazy. Victoria's getting out of hand, yeah, let's be honest. I'm just like, it didn't seem that crazy to me. I know.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, okay. So hope he's well and hope whatever happened is
fine. If someone turns up dead.
I'll give a description.
Great.
Yeah, if someone turns up dead. Anyway, so, yep.
Listen, if you see something, say something.
I know, you're right. I'm really sorry, I apologize to everyone, and I promise to do better next time.
Okay.
I'll call. So the last two spaces I want to discuss are the witch's room and the Wiccan chamber.
Ooh.
The witch's room was used by a group of witches used to practice their witchcraft. They were known to be white witches or good witches, but for some reason, people feel uneasy in this space often and will see a black figure walking around in this room.
Oh.
The room has a giant pentagram in the center of the floor and also contains a bunch of witch paraphernalia. Yeah, so people often feel like a bunch of they feel off, they feel like an eerie, evil presence in the space. And finally, there's also the Wiccan chamber. In 1995, a group of Wiccans moved into this chamber to practice Wicca. They created a circle of stones in the center of the room as a circle of protection from demonic or evil forces. However, when they left the vault for good, they apparently closed up the protection circle and offered the space back to a malevolent spirit.
Okay.
My thought on that was like, maybe there was already a malevolent spirit that was there and continued to be there while they were trying to practice their magic.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they created the circle in the first place.
Yeah.
And then they were like, we don't want to deal with this anymore. We're just going to leave.
Oh.
I don't know. That's my thought.
Bye.
I don't see it as bad, but some people are like, why would they be practicing magic? I'm like, girl, relax.
I don't know, because they want to.
Years later, a priest entered the chamber and picked up the sense of a demonic entity, and he suggested that they brick up the door to the chamber and never let anyone in there again.
Whoa, that's pretty intense.
Yeah, at one point, someone who was on a ghost tour went into the middle of the circle in the Wiccan room and instantly fell faint and hit their head on the stones, resulting in them needing stitches and immediate medical care.
Oh no.
Maybe like that guy I saw. Further, people often have scratches, cuts, and bruises and suffer from sleep paralysis after leaving the vaults.
Whoa.
The Edinburgh vaults contain a deep, dark history which has only been partially uncovered. Out of the 120 rooms that were originally occupied, only a handful have been excavated and reopened to the public. The rest are sealed off and only accessible to spirits who have roamed the land for hundreds of years and will continue to do so. And that is the story of the Edinburgh vaults.
That is crazy bonkers bananas.
Yep.
What the heck?
I know. I encourage you all to watch a video on the Edinburgh vaults because it's pretty cool. I really like the Project Fear one.
Mm.
Sometimes I don't love watching them, but I'm starting to love them.
Yeah, go watch some videos. Go look at some pictures because that looks crazy.
Yeah,
you would never know.
No. We'll post a bunch of pictures to our story. And we thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys. guys. We hanging out with us
and hanging in there while we go through a very busy
trials
time.
And tribulations.
Trials and tribulations and a busy time in our life where we're not able to produce as much as we want to. But yeah. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or critiques, you can email us at
ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram at
Ghoul Society Pod.
Please leave us a five star rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't just rate it. Can you guys leave a review?
Leave a review.
That would be helpful. The ratings, like, don't get me wrong. We love both. But if you write a nice review, then people will actually see them rather than just the five stars.
Leave comments on our episodes.
Yeah.
Tell your friends, tell your family, get your friends to tell their friends, and get your family to tell their family, which is also your family.
Yeah.
And just tell everyone.
And also, I don't know, tell your school or like your workplace or I don't know, maybe we'll make stickers and then you can just put a sticker anywhere. Like on the bus. Ooh. Wait, don't actually vandalize things.
Yeah, well.
Put on street poles.
Yes.
Who cares about street poles?
Yes.
No one. No. Garbage cans.
Put our sticker on a garbage can.
Yeah, on the outside.
This show is trash. Just kidding. Anyway, we love you. Thank you for listening.
Love you. Thank you.
And we will see you later.
Bye. Bye.
Reggie,
I'm gonna take a picture of you.
Reggio Spaghettio, Regenio.
You look like such a teacher.
It's already wearing into the wrinkles of my skin. I feel
ew,
it.
Ew, all the germs?
Yes.
Ew.
And the stress. The stress of it all.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yep.